Megan.
And I'm Jen, and you're listening to the Travel Mug Podcast.
Every episode, we talk about travel destinations, interesting trivia, and even some travel fails.
Let's dive into today's episode. Don't forget to travel mug.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Travel Mug Podcast. We have a really fun series of episodes coming up, and I'm really excited. So we're going to be sharing stories of travel fails. So Megan and I have kind of chatted about our various fails over the years. So we're going to bring in new people to chat about there. So it's not just our same old stories because we haven't been anywhere.
We've been nowhere, people.
We've been nowhere. Anyway, first up, we're bringing on Alicia Sims from Secret Nova Scotia, Tura Buzz, Rolling Sea Tattoos. She does all of the things. She's been on the show before. Alicia, you're our first two-time guest, so
yay! Oh, wow. So exciting!
I know! Welcome, and I'm really excited to hear all your travel stories.
Oh, there are so many.
When you first messaged me about your travel fail that you're going to tell us about, I like laughed out loud to myself. I was like, okay, yeah, I got to hear her tell this story.
Yeah, that's definitely my most epic travel fail without a doubt. And hopefully something like this never happens again.
Oh, well, do share. We got to hear this.
Okay. Well, I was in Scotland, I think it was 2012. So it was a hot minute ago. And I was actually on my way from Scotland to Spain. And I was meeting two people who were coming from Canada straight to Spain. And there was a bit of flurry between the booking of their tickets and my ticket. And I think in my head, our flight times were really close in the different countries. And I was focusing on their flight time. So I checked into the airport, thought I had all this time, went to the bookstore and picked up a copy of Tina Fey's Bossy Pants.
Oh, I love that book.
Yeah. Apparently, so did I. So I picked up this book. I was sitting outside my gate. And if you haven't read this book, it is so funny. Her writing is incredible. You get so lost in the story. So lost, in fact, that you miss your flight. And because you're in Scotland and their accent is so thick there at the airport, you don't hear them calling your name that you're missing your flight.
Oh, so my God.
That is legitimately what happened to me. I sat there as this flight.
When you knew this, like you're reading, what next? Like,
I look up at the gate and I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, where's the plane? Why aren't people boarding? Like, what's going on? So I assume there was also a gate change I didn't realize. That's another story. But then I realized, like, this isn't right. But what happened is the plane had actually, I think, left before I even sat down and had the book in my hand because I was so close to my time not realizing. Oh my God. I know. So then I ran downstairs like a bat out of hell, and my suitcase was in the airline office, and I went and looked at it, and they were like, what happened? I know, I was like, I was sitting right there, and they're like, we called your name. I'm like, did you? Because it was just this like hysteria match between the two of us about, like, it was just crazy. And I had been there at the time with my friends who had dropped me off. Like, we had sat and had lunch before I went through security. And they were like, I did not hear them calling. So anyway, I ended up having to try and get another flight over because I had to still get to Spain. Right. And they did not honor me a ticket to get on another flight over, which was absolutely brutal. So it was the most expensive mistake I've ever made. And I actually thought about writing Tina Fey a letter to tell her how much I enjoyed your book so much that I actually missed a flight sitting there being completely enthralled by it.
I was actually just going to say that. I was just be like, we need to like get this story to Tina Fey.
Yeah.
It's like, I would like to take your book profits and pay for the insanely expensive ticket I then had to pay to get to Spain.
Oh my God. That is so brutal.
I would have crapped my pants and like vomited all at the same time.
I definitely felt a lot of those things. And then it actually got worse because this was a time before you could use your cell phones in different countries and had packages. So I had no way to alert the people who were on their way over that I wasn't there, but I still got there first. But they were having their own issues with their plane. And I got to Spain. I had a hotel for the night because they were coming in the next morning. I got to the airport in Spain. I'm standing there. I'm waiting. Flights are coming. They're not coming through. And I don't know if you've been in, what airport was it? I want to say Barcelona, but I'm pretty sure that was because that's the first place that we went. And there's a lot of traffic. There are a lot of flights coming through. It looked like their flight had landed. Nobody came out. And they had gotten, I can't remember the exact story now, but I think they had gotten sent on another flight because the flight that they had either leaving Halifax or Heathrow had to change planes because they had technical errors, whatever happened there. So they ended up being over an hour and 45 minutes late from their landing time. We have no way to contact each other. They have no way to let me know. I'm like, when they came out the gate, I spontaneously busted into tears. So
I would have too.
That's the day. Yeah.
It was 24 of the most stressful hours of my life.
Oh my God. So when did you get there in Spain compared to when you should have, like a couple of hours later or like?
I don't know. I think it was a lot later. I think, I remember they had to put me on a plane I was going to Heathrow and then from Heathrow to Barcelona. And this was the first time I'd ever come through Heathrow. Cause when I flew to Scotland, WestJet had been doing the direct flights to Glasgow.
Right. Yeah.
So I had never landed there. I was freaking out because I had to get my luggage and go find another plane at the time. So I can't remember if I had to rebook both connections or if I just missed the one. I think I was going to have more time in Heathrow to get that original flight to Spain.
Right.
But I was like full body sweat sitting in my seat on the plane waiting to land in Heathrow. And we kept circling saying, we're just waiting to get the go ahead to land. And I'm like visibly sweating. And the person next to me is like, this happens all the time. Every time I come through Heathrow, like we never land on time. I'm like, great.
Wonderful news.
Yeah. Like there's going to be headlines of this crazy Canadian who was elbowing people down the aisle, bolted down, trying to get to their next flight to Spain.
Yelling at people. You don't understand the day I've had.
Yeah, international travel by yourself with like meeting other parties is insanely stressful. Yeah, like if anybody's internationally traveled, knowing like nothing runs on time, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that sounds so stressful. And it's funny because we're going to Scotland in June. So I'm like, I'm not going to miss my flight.
Just know if they're calling your name, you probably won't know it.
Be there and be ready.
Even in like Halifax and they call names, it's like, what did they say? Like the last time I flew, they called Nelson, which my last name is Nielsen, but so many people look at it and say Nelson. And I was like, do they want me or not? Yeah, because I'm not sure, but they didn't want me. They wanted a party of two and I was a party of one. So it was not me that time, but
I wonder when they call names, like, where are these people and why do you need your name called? Now we know
because you're missing out.
Could be a variety of things.
Definitely. Well, I also had my name called in the other story I was telling about how the first time I flew to Australia, so it was Newfoundland and Newark, Newark to LA, LA to Sydney, Sydney to Tasmania trip. Ooh. On the very first leg, we left Newfoundland, no problem. We got to Newark. They gave us all of our boarding passes when we left Newfoundland, which should have been a red flag right there that was not going to be the same on this international travel. But we got to Newark, never had been there before. It's quite a large airport. So we're like, we got lots of time. We'll go settle in at our gate. No problem. We did that. And there's no plane there. And there's, you know, enough people around that you thought, okay, well, this could be a flight.
Yeah.
And then it's getting closer to like takeoff time. Not even boarding time has gone and there's no plane and nobody has said anything. So then we decide to go and look at a departure board to see. And sure enough, it wasn't the gate. Whatever had changed. We didn't even think when we landed to look at the actual airport departure board to see if it was the same as our boarding pass. And it was like more than 50 gates that we had to go. And they're calling our names. First time I've ever been the person. And the only time I think that they've been calling your name, that they're like, we're boarding. We're going to take your luggage off. Like, where are you? And we're just like huffing it down to find this gate. Like, you know, when you run or, well, you know, when you exert yourself more than you should, and then you get that like taste of blood in your mouth. That's how hard we ran to not miss that flight, which would then miss every other flight we had.
God,
that was a time.
Yeah, that is brutal. Yeah, the airports like give you a whole different sense of anxiety than you can find in the real world, because like if you do have connections, like, and if you're on a plane and you're waiting for like to land to get to the next one, like you can't even concentrate because you're just like, we need to land so I can get on with my life.
Yeah.
And it's a whole different level of stress.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Just this last week, I was in Alberta and I had that tight turnaround time that, well, WestJet changed my direct flight to a connecting flight in Pearson, which is Toronto Airport. Yeah. And I mean, that airport is notoriously large and late. And it was a 50-minute turnaround from landing time to takeoff time.
Yeah.
I was like, my luggage isn't making it. There's just no way.
Yeah.
We got there on time and then we're sitting on the runway, like waiting to go to the gate. There's like, sorry, folks, we're waiting on ground crew. This is, you know, on the airport side. This isn't us sitting. 40 people. They get on the announcement and say 41 people, I was the 41, are waiting for the tight connection. So if you don't have a connection, please just sit down and let these people go. Yeah. So we're all like, oh my God. Finally, the ground crew comes and we're moving up to the gate. It's like, okay, it's good. We still got time. I still got 30 minutes until takeoff time. It's fine. Hopefully it's one of these really close gates. And then we're sitting on the plane. Nothing's happening. Everyone's standing in the aisle waiting to get off the plane. And they come on the announcement again and say, unfortunately, the gate is frozen shut. The wheels that pull the gate over to the plane so you can get off are actually frozen and malfunctioning, and they can't get them to work. So again, not our fault, not the airline's fault. This is all the airport's doing. Please just hang tight. And we're like, oh my God, oh my God. We sat there for 56 minutes. So 50 minutes was the layover we had. 56 minutes before they got the gate over and the plane open and everybody got off.
My God. And then did you miss, I can't remember what happened. Did you miss your flight?
Oh yeah. every 41 people. Funnily enough, one girl was saying her flight actually left early. So even if we had made it out on time, she probably would have missed it. It was like, I find it hard to believe, like, our flight we only missed by 10 minutes, which means it was probably still sitting right there on the runway waiting to go.
Yeah. Like,
how is it more economical for an airline to have to get new flights for all these people versus holding like one plane for 10 minutes? Like, I know they get fined if they don't run on time. I don't know how steep it is, but I have had airport employees tell me that they have to leave at a certain time, or the longer they're late, they'll get a larger fine. But I can't fathom that having to get, I ended up going on Air Canada. WestJet rebooked me on Air Canada. So it was like, how is that less money or financial loss for you than holding that plane for 10 minutes?
It doesn't seem like it would make sense.
No. And like, I've booked those flights. Like when I flew to Thunder Bay in December, that's often what it is. It's like a 50 minute connection with WestJet in Toronto. And luckily, most of the times that I've flown, the gates have been pretty close together. So you're not like running from like one gate to another. But like,
I'm never that lucky.
It is stressful. Like, it is really, really stressful. And there's like a balance. Like, do you want a 50-minute layover or do you want like a 5-hour layover? Like, can you just give me 2 hours or something in the middle?
See, I will always book if there is a direct option. I don't care if it costs me more money.
Yeah.
I am the person who wants to sit down and my ass doesn't come out of the seat. Oh, I'm sorry if you can't.
We're both there.
Oh my God.
it doesn't come out of the seat until I land. I have no problem with that. I fly to Alberta pretty regularly. And man, I love that 5.5 hour flight.
Yeah.
Never would I choose to get off in 2 hours, wait around and get it. Never. I want direct all the way.
Yeah.
We are the same. We are the exact same. That's why when we are going to Germany, we haven't made it there yet. But when we get there eventually, like it is like just here to Frankfurt. And I'm just like, that is what I'm talking about, because it is, I don't want to have to think about the rest of it. There's enough to think about when you're traveling that I don't want to have to think about a connection.
What's the longest flight either of you have ever been on?
I guess from here to, no, we didn't fly direct to London. We flew to Iceland first. So I guess probably just that, which I think is not that long. Megan, how long was that flight?
I think it was like 5.5 hours.
5.5? Yeah.
I think for me, the longest I have been is maybe Newark to Barbados.
Oh.
It's a long way.
Barbados is like down there. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
How long was from Newark to Barbados? How long would that be?
I mean, that was 100 years ago. I can't remember.
But I think it's for your age.
I look so good. I think it is a little bit longer though than here. I have flown here direct to Heathrow. So if but I think Barbados from Newark is probably 7 something if I remember properly. So yeah, I think it would be here, but yours must be LA to Sydney. Would it be?
That's long.
Oh, and that is the last leg of that trip. That is the worst part. Like, it really tests the like barriers of your humanity when you fly that long. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Like, cause the way it's timed is pretty good. Like you leave in the morning, by the time you leave LA, it's like 10 o'clock at night. So you're exhausted. You're ready to sleep. And that's like I think 13 hours from the point where you leave LA to you land in Sydney. And that's after flying like 6 hours across the country, a couple hours before that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have so many stories now. I ended up sitting, I book the emergency row on that size of plane. I can't remember what class it is actually like 5 feet in front of you.
Yeah.
So nice. I'm sitting in the middle of this row, but doesn't matter because there's nothing there. And there has to be I'm going to say 300-pound Russian man sitting on the side of me.
Naturally.
Right. So I am delirious with travel at this point. I need to sleep. I, for the first time, take Benadryl to, I was like, I have to sleep at least as much as I can on this flight or I'm going to lose my mind. And this man snored so loud that it was louder than my earplugs, than the roar of the engine of this massive plane. And I am straight up out of my mind at this point. Like, I actually thought about stuffing my eye mask in his mouth. And on top of that, I had convinced myself when I woke up, I was going to tell him, you have a problem and you need to go to a doctor. There's something really, really wrong in here. Like, yeah, just in all around here, something's wrong. There's something that's really wrong. Something might be dead in there. It crawled in. I don't know. But you have to go to a doctor. It was horrible. And the way back is even worse because at least on the way down, you've got exhaustion on your side. But when you leave to come back, you leave at like, I think it was mid-afternoon. And then a few hours into that 13-hour flight, you hit the middle of the night. And then you land in the morning of the day you left.
That's
and you're just keep going. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Oh my God. So, yeah. That's why we haven't gone to Australia yet. We had a bucket list episode last week. I think it was, what is time? And Australia is definitely on mine. And I think, I think it would test me. And I think it would test Peter even more. Like he can't sleep in airports and he can't sleep on airplanes.
He can't sleep in jeans.
Probably he'll always have his jeans on. See. He could do anything in those, mostly. I think it would test him even more. So it's one of those things like, A, I think you need a long time if you're going that far. And B, I think you need a lot of like mental preparation for that. And we haven't gone down that road yet.
You absolutely do. You were right on all of those things. It is it is hard mentally. And like, I think I read the entire Hunger Games trilogy on those trips. I knit a baby blanket on that. Like, I had everything with me that I could to occupy my mind, because at the time, I don't know now because it's been so long, but the planes were the ones that just had that one little TV that's every three rows.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, and it was before Netflix, I think.
Right. Yeah.
100 years ago as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I'm sure it still existed, but it was before we like carried it around on our tablets and
right.
stuff.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so it was like, now I feel like it would be better, but you really have to have a solid plan of how you're going to deal and entertain yourself for that much time. Excuse me.
Yeah. Talk about trip planning. So much of it would have to do with that as well. Like it's a lot to undertake. So it's good advice for the future as well. And we're eventually going to have to do it, but it's a lot to think about.
I am living for Jan going to Scotland. Like, I'm just waiting for that to happen.
So am I.
When is it again?
We leave on May 31st here, and then we get to Scotland on June 1st. But so my best friend's getting married, and my best friend lives in Thunder Bay. So she is flying, her and her fiance are flying Thunder Bay to Toronto, Toronto to Halifax, Halifax to Glasgow. So there's a lot of potential for error there. So fingers crossed. Right. It won't be winter. So hopefully the gate thingy won't be frozen. So, but we're all on the same flight over. So me and my friend's parents, and then my best friend and her fiance, we all meet up in Halifax and get on the same flight.
See, that's great. Even if you can have everybody, like if you're not like stressed about meeting people or flights getting at the same time, I mean, that alone will help bring down a lot of the stress levels.
Yeah. And then we're going to actually split up in the beginning. Like once we land in Glasgow, Ryan and I are going to do our own thing. Everybody's going to do their own thing for the first 5 days. And then we meet on the Isle of Skye for the wedding. The wedding's on the 7th. We get to the Isle of Skye on the 5th. So it's really weird to have like a trip planned, like a big trip. And we haven't done something like this for 7 years when we went on our honeymoon. So it's a lot to think about again. And this is our first time really traveling with other people, except we've gone with other people to Disney, but Disney's like a whole different traveling planning experience than like a European road trip. But it is funny for us to be planning. Like we had our trip entirely basically mapped out on what we were going to do. And then my best friend and her fiance and her parents were like, actually, after the wedding, we're going to do this instead. And they were our car at that point. We were like, okay, so we're switching gears. And now we're doing our entire trip in reverse, which is totally fine. But so at least we didn't have anything booked.
Yeah, really? Oh, that's good.
So we got all our hotels booked. We got all of our things booked. Now I will feel so much better once I'm on that plane.
It's true. I so often say that when people are like, are you excited? I was like, I literally won't be relaxed excited until the plane is pulling away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in the
end. That's what travel has become.
Yeah. It is. It was like that before, but in a different way. Like then you're just like, okay, the excitement's really setting in, but now you just can't believe in anything. You can't believe that it's going to actually occur. So like we've planned this European trip, we're going on almost the same time as Jen 3 times. And Peter was like, I need you to know I'm not planning this a fourth time. Like, I'm just not. And I'm like, I'm cool with that. This is our last shot, honey. Let's see what happens.
Where are you going, Megan?
Germany, Austria, and Switzerland.
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
We'll see.
I know. We have a trip, actually. We're counting down the days now. We're supposed to be going to the Dominican on March 22nd. This is our third time trying to book it as well. I won this trip in 2019. I know. Never had won a trip in my friggin' life. Went to the hospital gala fundraiser here. I literally was waiting to leave. I'm like, will you call this last ticket so I can get up and run out of here? And he called my name. I had my purse in my hand and was like, couldn't believe it. We booked it.
So you caused the pandemic. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes.
Okay.
Your fault. Actually, that's 100% where it started. Sorry. Send your hate mail below. So we are going. We were actually going to lose the trip if we didn't book it by April. And I was like, over my cold, dead body, am I losing the only trip I have ever won? So settle in, hon. We're going. I don't care if we end up having to isolate when we get back. We are going. So yes. Fingers crossed, we'll be doing that in 43 days, I think. So
We look forward to that for you as well. Like, we all deserve it. We just do.
We do.
You're so right. Well, I mean, we're all going to vicariously live through each other.
I know. That's basically where we're at now. Yeah.
When I see people are traveling now, I'm like, you go, girl. You go, boy. Live that life. I'm like so 100%. Excited for people.
And share it openly on the internet, please.
Yes.
I need to see how the other half is living for sure. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. You have so much on the go in your life, and we're so blessed that you've joined us for like a second time. So thank you for sharing your travel fails and stories with us. We really appreciate it. And yeah, like, let's hope with these next three trips we all have planned that nothing happens that we need to talk about like this.
Yeah, none of us are bringing travel fails back from these trips. Although, Jen, when you said car in Scotland, it reminded me that I did rent a car when I was there, and it ended up being a standard on the opposite side of the road with the opposite end. That wasn't a travel fail, but it definitely took years off my life. There's no question.
Had the potential. Yeah, we are very careful when looking at rental cars that it will be an automatic. I've never driven a standard in my life. Not that I'll be driving in Scotland, because I won't. Ryan will be doing all of that. But he doesn't usually drive a standard either. So we're like, let's be on ourselves.
I really genuinely hope you get to drive like the country roads that are not the main roads. Because I don't know how you feel about roller coasters, but that's, I imagine what it is like to ride one. Like, it's roadkill. You don't even know what it was, because whatever hit it obliterated it. And you just know something died here. It's so fast and curvy and windy. It is nauseatingly amazing.
Ireland is the exact same.
Looking forward to
exactly. What roadkill was that?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Might have been a feather for, I'm not sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Alicia. It was a pleasure to have you back.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And I can't wait to reminisce over all of our travels in 2022.
Bye.
See you. Thank you so much for listening to the Travel Mug Podcast. You can find us on our website, travelmugpodcast.com, on Facebook and Instagram at the Travel Mug Podcast. And you can support the show by buying us a coffee. You'll get access to fun stuff. Someone bought us a coffee recently, and I did a happy dance on Instagram. So if you want to see more of that.
I mean, who doesn't want to see more of that?
Please, good moves. Please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and share the show with a travel loving pal, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone.